Good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Julie and I'm one of the pastors here at CB. And I have the privilege of sharing this message with you this morning. We're continuing this morning on our journey through the Gospel of Matthew, and we're picking it up partway through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount at chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. So you might like to open your Bibles if you've brought it here, or maybe your app on your phone. If you are willing and able, if you would like to stand as we reference God's Word. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rusts cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord. Please have a seat. I would like us to just think of three or four things that you would want to take with you if you had to leave your house in emergency, like an evacuation. So whatever you may end up leaving behind, it might be lost, ruined, or destroyed. So have a quick think for a few seconds, and then I'd like you just to gather around those people with you and just chat. What are some of those things that you would say, right, I want that, and now I'm out of here. So just, yeah, talk amongst yourselves and share. What would you take? Thank you for sharing. It's wonderful to see and hear. It really is absolutely wonderful. I'd like to share some of my treasures that I would hopefully take. First is my bear, which I was given as a child. I don't know who gave it to me, actually, and my green dog. And my teddy used to squeak, but I've discovered he doesn't squeak anymore. So, and green dog, I'm not very creative with names, obviously. Teddy bear, green dog. Yeah. a watch that actually my husband Ian gave me many, many years ago. The strap's broken and I've had it fixed so many times. In fact, last time I was at the jeweller, they said to me, it's just wearing really thin. I don't think we're going to be able to fix it again. So I haven't actually taken it back, but I can't bear to part with it. And then a necklace that was my mother's that I probably haven't worn for I don't know how long. And in fact, I've attached a piece of elastic to it because I didn't like the length of it, but it's significant. Some of us, you may have chosen photographs or documents like passports. Someone at the morning service reminded me of medication. Someone said their wife, which was really, really cool. Great to hear. So there's a whole range, and I don't know if anyone wants to share. What's something that you would want to take if you had to leave quickly? Oh, yes, I can't. Who am I? What would you like to take, Emily? A special toy that you got when you were a little baby? Yeah, that would be spot on, perfect, great. Thank you for sharing, Emily. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Yes. Your cat. Yes. What's your cat's name? George. Yeah, we'd have to take George. Yes, right at the back. Who can I see? Who is it? Oh, Reese. Your teddies? Yes. Great. Got to love our teddies. Amalia. Pardon? Squeakers. A mouse. Oh, very. And tweakers. Oh, getting us really need to turn my hearing up. Micah. Bunny, your library card and notebooks. Wow, very, getting your priorities right. Love it. Wonderful. Does anyone else want to share? I don't want anyone to miss out. Oh, yes, sorry. Nolene. Your glasses. Yes. Yes. Life would be very interesting for those of his new glasses if we don't have them. All right, thank you for sharing. So some of us have chosen items that can't be replaced or replaced easily, or if they can be replaced, they won't have that same special in place in our hearts because they're given to us, someone who's special to us, like an occasion, like a birthday or an anniversary. And then there's the treasures. Those treasured items that though we may not be able to take them with us in the event of an emergency, they still have significant value to us, like our smart TVs, our cool surround sound system, our smartphones, our PS4s and Xboxes, for me, my Nespresso coffee machine, maybe our house itself, jewellery, iPod, iPads, laptops. I mean, kids, what about your collection of Transformers or slime or Lego or the LOL dolls, squishies, Polly Pockets? The list is endless, isn't it? Because we live in a society here in New Zealand, here in Palmerston North, where materialism has taken a hold. And I think if we're honest, and I am including myself here, at some stage we have thought or felt, I want more. I deserve more. I've worked hard. I need it. And we look around and we see others driving a nicer, newer car or living in a newer, bigger, renovated house. I could go on, but you get my drift. And I don't believe at all that this passage of scripture, Jesus is saying that we are prohibited to own property or nice things or to save for a rainy day. Sorry. Nor is he saying that we can't enjoy them. But there is a but. Once again, Jesus' message here on the Mount is leading us to question our hearts. Are our hearts seeking after ourself or after a real vibrant relationship with God? Jesus has already spent considerable time in his sermon describing true righteousness that comes from our heart, that comes from the heart. The characteristics of such a person were given in the Beatitudes back in Matthew 5. And then Jesus contrasts the self-righteous teaching and the conduct of the scribes and Pharisees with a true righteousness in the remainder of Matthew 5 and the first part of Matthew 6. This passage of scripture today stands a bit like a bridge between Jesus' teaching and piety in the first half of chapter 6 and the priorities in the latter half of chapter 6. He warns us against the dangers of materialism, casting two treasures, two eyes, and two masters as a way to emphasize compassion, generosity, and full devotion to God. Jesus is asking us to confront our trust in what we treasure, because what we treasure directs and shows where our hearts are. Now, we want to believe that our hearts are in the right place. However, I think often we hide our true heart position and we put on different masks. We may try and be a superpower, Batman. Or a dog, a pet. Someone lovely and cuddly. Maybe we want to have something sparkly and beautiful. Now, the masks that I'm talking about, they're not as obvious as these ones, but they're masks all the same. I think we're often not even aware that we're doing it. But we do put on masks in an attempt to tell ourselves, and so that people perceive us as having our hearts in the right place. When in reality, deep down in our heart of hearts, or in our private life, we're struggling with fears, temptations, and desiring the things of the world out of greed, or for praise and acceptance of our friends, our work colleagues, and those around us, instead of having a desire to glorify God. There is so many factors vying for our hearts, and we need to be wise and aware of it. We need to guard our hearts. We need to watch over them so that our heart follows hard and strong after the things of God, after what God wants for us. Proverbs 4:23 states, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Our hearts are like the control centre of our lives. So therefore, we must ask, where is my treasure? Because where my treasure will be, there will be my heart. To find my treasures, I need to ask myself, well, what do I value? What do I spend my money on? What do I spend my time doing? I might also ask the questions, how did I choose my job? Did I ask, how does this job help others? Did I consider how much I might enjoy the job or how good I would be at it? Or was my focus on how much was I going to be paid? We might ask too, how does my job affect others, affect our environment or our neighbourhood? If we were to write down a great big list of the treasures as we answered those questions and then crossed out all the ones that we couldn't take when we die, because we cannot take anything with us. That is, anything that we can, you know, touch, see. Because these are earthly treasures that Jesus is talking about in this passage. Our earthly treasures that we spend our money and our time on, that we try and protect from being ruined, destroyed, and stolen, that have a finite time, that we can only have temporarily, that remain here when we're gone. They do not last for eternity. So we need to ask another question. Are we earthly minded or heavenly minded? Are we investing in the future eternity to come or investing in the here and now? And though we may not have the same concerns and issues with moths eating our best clothing and rust and vermin destroying things, though we have noticed a few rats and mice that can do some pretty good job around our place, and people breaking into our homes by literally digging in the sides of their houses, our treasures are still susceptible to being damaged, destroyed, and stolen. Jesus is letting us know he wants us to be using our time, our energy, and finances to further the kingdom of God. He wants us to live our lives in trust and obedience to him, and to help others to do the same. As I was researching and reading for this message, I was really blown away by what John Wesley did. When he was earning £30 a year, he lived on 28 and gave the remaining £2 to church. When his salary doubled the next year, he still lived on £28 and gave the remaining away. And over the years, he just continued to do this, so that during his lifetime, he gave between £30,000 and £40,000. It's an incredible amount, and even more so when I used Google, good old Dr. Google, to find out what would the equivalent be in today's currency, $7 million. I mean, that is staggering. He is reported to have said, "When I have money, I give it away as quickly as possible lest it find a way into my heart. Now, I'm not saying that we all need to do the same. However, it seems that John Wesley was aware of the trap that greed and materialism can create. He seems to be aware of Jesus' emphasis. It's not on the location of our treasure, rather than the location of our affections that we need to be careful of. C.S. Lewis also sums things up quite nicely. He says, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. It's a pretty blunt statement, but I think it holds quite a lot of truth. So if we aim at heaven, and if furthering the kingdom of God is our focus for our treasures, then what would it be like? Well, it may be as simple as smiling at someone in the street as they walk past and greeting them, saying hi, good afternoon, good morning, instead of walking along with our heads down in our own little world. Maybe taking time to get to know your neighbour, you know, really getting taking time, having them for a meal. Maybe it's having self-control and not having to buy the latest gadget when it arrives. For me, it's going to be things like, if I'm really honest, not wanting to drop into that cafe and have a coffee. It's making intentional decisions to pray. What about coming along to our discipleship course, long story short, and inviting someone along to come with you? What about coming up with ways in which your workplace can take an active part in caring for God's creation? Or choosing not to get caught up in workplace gossip. In preparing for this message and thinking about having to change my own lenses as to how I view treasures, I found myself thinking about those whom CB has sent out into the mission field, the likes of the Webbs, and also the likes of Richard. They're treasures, heavenly treasures. They really are. And I've always admired the work that they do, the incredible work they do through God. But I wasn't wearing the right lenses. Because when I did, I could see what the wonderful treasures that they were. I'll have to take them off because I cannot keep reading. It's too tricky. It is interesting how differently we can perceive things depending upon the lenses with which we are looking through. If the eyes of our heart and mind are fixed on God, then we will be able to see what God is guiding us to. We will know where He is asking of us because we're wearing the correct lenses. So we need to make sure that we are wearing them to allow us to focus on God, on our eternal life, not on the temporary one. And if our hearts and eyes are fixed on God, then we're only going to want to serve Him. We're not going to be torn between what Jesus refers to as serving two masters, which is just not possible. We are to serve God and God alone. It's either Him or self in our own personal pursuits. And the latter is only going to bring adverse consequences. Because God is calling us to a radical life of service to Him as our master. We're called to give up ourselves completely and to place complete trust in Him and to follow Him. Jesus wants all of our heart. He desires that we have an intimate relationship with the Father as He does. We can't serve God and the riches of this earth. It's just not going to work. Because one is despised, oh, the other one is loved. And God is not condemning us for being wealthy. We are asked, are we serving money and possessions and therefore committing idolatry? Because money's not bad. It's the love of money that is. And how it can tempt us into believing that if we just had that car or that house or whatever that particular item is, then we would be happy, or that we might hold power or be popular. So we need to put on the God armour of God. our enemy, he wants us to be distracted by these temporary pleasures and things of this world so that we don't have an intimate relationship with him. If we are serving Father with all our soul, heart, mind, and strength, we're not going to be disappointed, because there's an amazing inheritance waiting for us. We need to see the grace of the gospel in our daily lives and its effects day in and day out. So I leave us with these three questions. Where is my treasure? How is my vision? And whom am I serving? Amen.